Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And then it works like that. Yeah.
By the way, TK, turn two, if you open up a little bit more the corner, you will.
Okay, whatever.
we're 1 minute in and I'm loving it already. This is brilliant.
If you want to call it Team WTF1, we're fine with that.
Tony, actually, I'm interested. Give me an idea of a name that's already been thrown in the bin that you put to the other guys.
Well, Fernando actually had some awesome ideas. Then I picked one of those, and it was Diablo. And then Ruben says, I cannot even say what he says when he's reply. So it's all up in the air. So we'll come up with something. We have until Saturday to come up with something, and hopefully everybody will be happy.
Last minute stuff. That's exactly how most of us sim racers work anyway. Right. Let's dive into our first question, which is just how much are you loving sim racing? Fernando, you've kind of hit the sim racing world by storm. You were part of the Legends race trophy, which you kind of just popped out of nowhere and was immediately quick. I heard you did a lot of practice behind the scenes as well. How much are you enjoying the whole thing?
I do enjoy a lot. Obviously, with the COVID and the pandemic, we had a lot of free time and a lot of time we spent in the sim. And slowly you get up to speed. Obviously, you are not as good as some of the pros, but faster than Tony and Rubens is enough for me.
Do you agree with that, guys? Is Fernando the fastest?
Not yet.
Well, the one thing we know for sure is that TK is the slowest. But then, the other two,
guys, he can say whatever he wants. But, iRacing, it's go by iRating. And between the three of us, I'm not going to say who has the highest iRating. So, you guys, I'm 4K.
Oh, hello. Two,
so, whatever Rubens wants to say. But I have to say, between the three of us, I'm the slowest.
TK,
for sure.
Since TK is 10, I mean, I know how to piss him off. So that's for sure. It's the idea all behind. I think the three of us have good fun. Me and Fernando, it was great to see how we were made of, because in Le Mans, I it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was still testing bits on the car, and then it was 7 a.m. in whatever he was in Europe, and he would come up and he was already in, and it was good fun. TK wasn't into the virtual that much 3 years ago, but then he started to enjoy. I mean, he can recall we were 18 or 19 when we used to go to that shopping center with that arcade, the 10 arcade Daytonas, and we would play that for hours. And so we love that, and the fact that we have the three together, it's the fun side of it.
Yeah, you can see that there's a lot of rivalry but banter between you all. And do you reckon that pushes you guys forward to try and get that extra bit of lap time?
It's only banter, really. We're just, as long as we're faster than between the three of us, whoever's the fastest is the one that's going to brag. That's why we do this. We don't care if we win the race or not, really.
You just want to be the fastest out of the three. I like to see that.
And then, according to Rubens, I'll be the slowest. I'll be doing the wrong apexes, the wrong exits. I mean, whatever the hell he wants to say.
But he's very good on ovals. He's really good on ovals.
I've heard that in the real life world as well. So guys, how much practice do you do? I think that's something that a lot of people will be wondering, you know, because you were mentioning, Rubens, about, you know, getting up at ridiculous hours to try and test a few bits on the car. You guys, I've heard, are actually, you take this very seriously, which is great to hear, because a lot of sim racers think that, you know, real life drivers just pop in and expect to be quick. You guys put the work in.
I do practice more than Rubens, for sure. Rubens is busy with all the Argentinian races, Brazilian stock car, and has a very busy schedule normally. Tony has to do 6, 8, 9 hours on the bike every day. So I'm probably more into the practice. I'm not into the iRating, Tony, sorry. But I love your background. So we need to make an update for the team in the future.
See, that's you know, I have, you know, I've been doing this bloody Zoom calls for ages now. So somebody did that, because I was always somewhere like Rubens, you know, either the first Zoom call I did, I had no idea. And I was like sitting in a place that the environment wasn't good. The other one, I was in the bathroom and people were like, what are you doing? So we create that background. So we
it works because you don't have hair. I think that helps a little bit, because if not, it will look weird.
I was hoping actually, Tony, that was just a board that you carried around with yourself for every time.
Yeah, yeah. Like whenever I go, I open up the back.
But did you guys see when I showed the simulator? Did you see it? Yes. It was, look, it's Fernando says I practice less, but then every time I get to the sim, my son is on it. So
yes,
yeah.
Do you feel like the fact that now simulators are so much more realistic? You mentioned just going on like an arcade machine for Daytona. Do you think that's what's got people so hooked, like yourselves, now, that the fact that there's so much more realism and it's not just a case of using a joystick or a pad, you can actually proper immerse yourself in a cockpit?
I would say so. I would say I have a picture of someone that sent me. There was like a GP4 kind of thing that you still go on the keyboards, and I had fun already when I was on that. And then there was a time on the sim that real drivers could be fast straight away, because it was still very arcade and so on. And then it got to a point in iRacing that I would call iRacing and say, look, I mean, can you promise me that this guy is not cheating? He said, yeah, we promise that he's not cheating. And then there were ways that you go into YouTube and see lines, different ways of setting up the car, that it was not real to us, but it was into the game. And I think now we get into a point where everything is merging to the real life, you know, toes, cambers, things, less wing, and then the cars are becoming more natural in the way that what we want is that if a good, real good virtual driver gets into the real world, he can do well. So I think this is the whole purpose behind everything.
I've got a great image now, Rubens, of every time you loading up a track and being slower than someone, just getting straight on the blower to iRacing and going, excuse me, is this guy cheating? No, God.
that was a good 3 years ago, where like the Mazda, you know, if you drove the Mazda, it was just, I mean, I would get so much oversteer out of those cars, and I couldn't really make a good time frame. But then they said, then I had auto clutch, for example, because, you know, I didn't know there was this.
Yeah, you have to put it on the
things.
Yeah.
To
doesn't know how to drive. Neither.
Go on, Tommy.
I guess you guys obviously have a laugh and joke together, but when it comes to actually racing, is it difficult sometimes to get into the zone, or do you have moments where, because you're mates, you kind of want to, you know, push people wide into the gravel, where because you know who you're racing against and stuff?
It depends. I think while you are practicing, yeah, you have fun and you try to keep the same spirit. But once the race starts, I think we go into the mood, and obviously we are sharing teams, so we are not up to each other in the race normally. We are just teammates, so yeah, we try to execute our part of the race and give the wheel to the next guy. Normally we only enter these endurance races so far, so you know, it's a long shot when you drive, and yeah, you still have fun.
I can imagine after a stint and you've had maybe a little clash here, or the car's not as good when Tony or Rubens takes the wheel. Will there be a few choice words, I imagine, from you all?
It's usually Rubens, but you know, he has he will get in the car and he's gonna say, "Oh man, this is terrible. What did you do?"
Have you met Tony? Personally, I think you guys seen? I mean, his arm is like this. So, okay, when we race the go-karts, every time he comes out of it, the steering wheel is swerved to the side. So it's not straight. So what can I do, man? He's trying to destroy the car.
So. I'm driving it. And then, you know, funny enough, guys, this year, he didn't invite me to do the race with him because I bent steering wheels. And what happened in his race? They broke a stereo and I wasn't there. So take it.
It's very true. It's very true. But I thought of you. I thought for a second, right. I thought it was you driving, but then I said, no.
I said that I was watching the race. I said, you know what? I mean, he's going to blame me regardless. Even if I'm in the States here due to COVID, he's going to blame me.
I absolutely love that. Touching back on the 24-hour esports race, and what do you guys reckon will be the biggest challenge? I suppose, have you set out stint times yet? Who's doing the graveyard shift? Is it split evenly between you all? Or
actually, we have a pretty good balance because Rubens and I now are in America. Fernando is in Europe. So we actually will have time. And Ollie and Isaac are in Europe. And we have other teammates there here in the States. So we have not, actually. It's still early. It's Wednesday right now. So we'll say we'll have a sheet and then everybody will change the sheet and says, "Oh, I can't do that now. Ruben is going to, you know, make excuses because poor guy, he's struggling for money, cannot buy a second simulator from Anton that he can't drive." And so, no, we haven't. And I don't know if you guys know this, but we have two cars entering the race, LMP and a GTE. So I'll be actually on the GTE car. Rubens and Fernando will be on the LMP with Ollie and Isaac. So it's pretty spread out, and it's fun. I mean, you know, the idea is, you know, we don't know what splits we're gonna get in, which is.
But if we get on the same split, I'll like you.
I'm pretty sure that you're gonna blame me for something.
Nice. Rubens, I saw a video recently, actually, of your dog climbing all over you while you were while you're on the sim. I'm assuming that you've going to make sure that they're going to be out the room when you're doing this.
Yeah, that was in Brazil. I was on a live with TK, and I heard the noise. I said, "Oh," because he's only 5 months. He looks like huge, but he's only 5 months, and he just wanted a hug. So it's okay. I'll give you a hug in the middle of the light. It was funny. He wanted to, you know, just kiss the steering wheel and do the in the middle of the race. Obviously, I would shut the door, but it's it was phenomenal just to see how he was. He wanted something, so we gave him a hug.
Yeah, massively jealous. Golden Retrievers are my favourite dogs. So seeing two of those next to a simulator, just the perfect room ever. Right, final question, I guess, on esports. Rubens, we've already seen your simulator, actually. But Tony and Fernando, what kind of setup are we looking at? Tony, I don't think you'll be able to show us just really because you've got a permanent advertising board. But
no.
Fernando, where's your simulator?
It's two floors down, so I will not know that now. But it's exactly the same as what Rubens show you now. So it's the all-in sport simulator, and it's exactly the same setup. I have one in Spain, one in Switzerland. And yeah, so far, no issues.
Awesome. Yeah, we all have actually the same sim, so we have no excuses. You know what I mean? So it's same equipment, same wheel, same pedals. So yeah, well, obviously, Anton and AIS... been a great partner of ours. You know, I actually first saw that Anton simulator at Ruben's house in Orlando a few years ago, and then this thing came. So we all have equal equipment, so we don't blame on the equipment anymore.
Yours doesn't have a bent steering wheel then?
My steering wheel, it's mine, so I can do whatever the hell I want. So it doesn't matter.
It will be nice to know your force feedback number.
I'll send you a picture.
DK, beat this lap.
Actually, one more question which I was going to ask you, Fernando. I heard that, I think it was for the Race Legends Trophy, you obviously put some time in to get up to speed, but when you were actually doing official practice sessions with everyone else, you didn't set a lap time, just so that no one knew what the raw pace was underneath those or in your simulator. Was that the case?
It was a case, I think, in Monaco, actually. Not in the other places, but in Monaco, yes. Because I think we had like 2 days before the race, one server open, and I did like, I don't know, 1:16. And then when the race server was on the race day, people were doing like 1:19. So I knew that I had like 3 seconds in hand. So I said, this is not possible. So I was doing like the first sector fast, the second sector slow and things like that. And it worked like 1:16 again. So I thought I have these 3 seconds, and I knew because I had some calls that the people were watching my own board when I was on track. So they stopped, they were on the pit lane, and I noticed that because I was going on track and there were like 20 cars working. And then when I was on track, it was like 3 cars on track and 17 on the pit lane. And I knew that they were watching. So I was doing funny things, you know, and strange lines.
I absolutely love that. All the mind games, even the esports races. That's awesome. Right, let's dive into a next segment, which I'm actually really excited for. And feel free, even though it is broken up into sections, I'm sure the other two will chime in at times. But it's Google's most searched questions about you all. Some of them were very interesting. We won't be asking those. But we've got some very calm and family-friendly ones. So, we'll start with you, Fernando, and then we'll alternate and go to Tony, then Rubens.
All right.
Is Fernando Alonso returning to F1? I think that's pretty clear it is. But generally, what are you expecting from the season, and how excited are you to get back in the cockpit and racing?
I'm looking forward definitely to the racing, but it's not that I was completely off the wheel for the last year, so... Is Formula One is so big that sometimes people forget that you were doing different things in the last 2 years. So it's like, wow, you come back now. How you will deal with everything, you know, and you will remember how to drive the cars and things like that. So you get a little bit surprised, you know, how the people.
Yeah, which one, the accelerator? You've forgotten that, right? You know,
yeah,
which
one? Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I'm looking forward, but maybe less than some people outside.
One for you, Tony. Is Tony Kanaan still racing?
I get that question on my Twitch a lot, and I'm like, yeah, I am. I was supposed to, you know, to do other things. I never said I was going to retire from racing. I was saying that I was going to, you know, slow down from IndyCar to try to do other things. I don't know how people got that impression. So yeah, even if I wasn't racing, I'm still on iRacing every day, so I guess that counts as racing. So I am racing.
And one for you, Rubens. How to pronounce Rubens Barrichello? Is that right, or is there a different way of saying it?
It depends where you are in the world, because in England, if you want to say Barrichello, it's tough, so they say Barrichello. And in Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese, it's Barrichello with a two R's pronounced a he. But then, you know, I my name is different everywhere. But the most common is Barrichello.
And you're happy with that?
I am, yes.
And in Japan, Rubens?
Barrichello.
Barrichello.
Barrichello-san.
We've got one here that is, which I'm assuming is people searching for the footage of it, which is Fernando Alonso V10, which I'm guessing is referring to your recent... drive in the Renault, which everyone was absolutely loving, probably even more than the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix itself.
Definitely more than the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
how was that, being back in that car driving again?
It was amazing. I think the those cars, and I think I talked to Rubens about this as well. We were lucky to live the best era of Formula One. I think the V10, all the manufacturers there, Toyota, BMW, Honda, Ferrari, they were all in that moment with a great sponsorship, with a great races. And I think that was the pure and the best moment for Formula One, not only for the show on track, but also off track. And to drive this car again, I think it was a recall for everybody, you know, of what Formula One, or what we got in love when we were, you know, kids, and we were in front of the television, and we heard those engines and those revs. And I think Tony also drove the V10 in Jerez, mm-hmm. I remember. Yeah. So, you know, we are extremely lucky. All three of us drove that kind of car and that pure Formula One, I think.
Tony, I saw the big smile on your face there. It looked like you enjoyed it.
And it was the only time I've driven. And it was actually right before Ruben signed with them, you know, and that was, I've always, as a little kid, that was my dream, right, to become a F1 driver. And I went to Europe, and obviously being so close to Ruben's, saw his first year in F1. I was already actually racing in Opel Auto Zero Series at the time. So I was actually followed some of the F1 races I was racing in the same day. So, and then I came to America, and I've had the opportunity. When I won the championship for Honda, I asked if I could actually, you know, it was a bet that I had actually with the CEO of Honda America, that if I won the championship for them, they would give me a F1 test. So yeah, it was, and that car was unbelievable. So yeah, Fernando is right. I haven't obviously driven this cars or any of the other ones. So I had two opportunities, actually. I drove that car, and then a sponsor of mine bought a Rubens 2006 Ferrari. Ferrari has this Cliente programs that they're both extremely familiar with, Fernando and Rubens. And this guy invited me to do a test in Homestead, and I drove that car too. So I got the best of both.
That's nice. Amazing. Rubens, these stories, does it make you want to get back in a Ferrari anytime soon just to bring back the memories?
I've done, it was 19 that I've drove in the Brown at Goodwood. And the noise is just phenomenal, you know, the Brown ear, that car, and what it meant for me, because I was 4 months without a drive. I didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, I sat down on the car, and it was just a phenomenal car. It was just one of the best cars I've ever driven. So, yeah, it's, you know, the memory is such a great thing, because you know, you can all of a sudden, you know, close your eyes and remember the exact noise, the buttons on the steering wheel, the whatever it comes on, and brings a smile for sure.
I absolutely just love seeing you three just recall your stories and just see the smiles on your faces. It's brilliant to see. Sorry, Tony.
I'm very lucky that when I was a kid, one of the races I went to was actually Imola, the year you won, Fernando, in the Renault V10, and that was an incredible race. Remember,
he's calling us old. Did you realize that when I was a kid, I watched you guys? That's nice. Yeah. Thanks for the interview, guys.
I'm taking my advertising board elsewhere.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
but quickly again about your drive, Fernando, because I was watching Sky at the time, and you kept going around, and just no one could speak into their microphones because you just kept screaming through the paddock. But you were running the Pirellis, weren't you? Did you feel much or noticeable difference? I know it was quite a while since you last drove it, but was there much difference between obviously the older Bridgestones, sorry, Michelins, and then what you used back then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you imagine that car was designed and developed for one kind of tire that was very specific on that year, I remember we had pit stops, but not tire chains. So the tire has to last for the whole race. And that was a very unique tire. So now fitting the slick Pirelli, it was very understeering the first day. So we had a couple of changes on the front wing, and we changed the compound to the red tire for Saturday demo. We went on the other side, so it was quite oversteering, and we changed again for Sunday, So we never got really the balance, but there were some bets, you know, and behind scenes, you know, what time you can do, 39, 38, 40. So I was involved on those bets as well, and I was pushing like hell.
What times were you doing, Fernando, out of interest?
I did at the end 39.7 or something.
And did you win the bet or not?
No, I was betting on 38, so I was very optimistic. the balance was not right.
It's the balance.
What was the time of the nowadays F1s?
We did 139.7 with this car, and on qualifying they did like 135 or 136.
Okay.
And on the race, fastest lap was 141.2.
Wow.
So, 2 seconds is lower because car obviously is on a race prep. There is no batteries, there is no artificial energy for one lap, no DRS. So it's in a race spec, let's say the R25. So,
but I'm pretty sure you didn't have more than 20 kilos on that car of fuel. So, no.
It was like minimum. It was like 7 or something like that.
7 kilos, yeah.
Pushing it round by the end of it.
Next Google search, we've got Tony Kanaan iRacing, and also another thing that came up was Twitch. So are you enjoying doing your streaming and stuff as well?
Yeah, you know, that came about 2 months ago. I had a sponsor of mine, you know, it's one of those questions like, have you considered going on Twitch? And I'm like, yeah, maybe. You and iRacing all the time. So actually I broadcast one of my races and I actually had fun. I enjoyed it. I have this every Wednesday night, I have a 1 hour interview that actually I did interview Rubens a couple weeks ago. Fernando can't come on because it's so late there for him. It's like 3 a.m. I didn't even invite him to do it because it's at 8 o'clock at night here in America. But yeah, I enjoyed a lot. I mean, I've been doing some of the races. I'll be actually broadcasting our 24-hour race for 24 hours on Twitch. So yeah. So far, you know, I try to entertain and talk to the fans, and it's been a pretty cool interaction to see, you know, the response of people, especially during the pandemic that you don't have the contact. You know, IndyCar is very open for the fans, and we had no fans this year. That was actually a pretty good channel to just really engage with them.
Does that mean, with it being a 24-hour stream, Tony, you're going to be up 24 hours constantly?
No. Listen,
constantly setting the
stream. The stream is 24 hours. I'm not going to be there for 24 hours.
Ah,
the fun out of checking on Tony like that is that he has so many kids. Sometimes they flew past on the back. This is I have so much fun. Oh, just be careful.
My wife's biggest fear. Is that eventually one of the kids is gonna run naked past the broadcast and I'm gonna get banned. That's what happens. I with 4 little kids, eventually that's so I have to actually she wasn't very keen on the simulator thing. So just so you guys understand, she says you can have this thing, but it cannot be around anywhere near the places that she likes the house. So she put me in the closet. So I have my sim, it's actually in the closet. And Rubens knows that. He came here and he saw it.
The smell is pretty odd as well.
It's my smell. You know, like kids and farts, you only actually can hold yours. You know, like that's pretty much.
Nice. Another one from Rubens. We've got Rubens Barrichello, I beat the Stig, which was when you were on BBC Top Gear. I think you were the first person to beat the Stig on UK Top Gear, I think.
It was rigged.
Rigged.
It was it's amazing because if you think how it really happened, I didn't know the program in Brazil. It's thousands of people know the program, but I, you know, with the traveling and so much, and then, you know, Williams came to me and said, you got to do this, you're going to love it, and I was tired. I just came from Brazil, and then they flew me there, and then I got into this car that it was, you know, no power, and I wasn't giving much to it. I just drove the hell out of that thing, and then I started to have fun when that, the Stig guy came with the helmet, and he told me, he came onto the car, and I didn't know. I still don't know who is him. We have a thought who is the guy. But then he came onto the car and said, "I used to like you." So it meant that I was driving pretty fast, because you have like five laps to just get to know the place, and then you go into the real program. And then I was the very first one that I bid the Stieg, and it was fun because I made a t-shirt for Jensen. I did not bid the Stieg, so it was fun.
That's good.
I absolutely love that. Right, back to you, Fernando. This one's a spicy one. So I'm looking for Ruben's and Tony's input as well. This one is a highly searched one. Is Fernando Alonso better than Lewis Hamilton?
It is on my books.
I want to hear the other two guys first.
But well, Tony said yes.
on my, I'm really, I'm very loyal to my friends. So I'm blind. Rubens and Fernando are the best F1 drivers I've ever met in my life. It's pretty much
it. I think people try to get things out of everyone just commenting on stuff that make no sense. One of the best season ever that we had in Formula One from the outside, because from the inside must have been tough, was Fernando and Lewis at the same place at McLaren. So it was phenomenal, because you could see that they had the knife in their mouth and they were going for it, and they want to kill each other, and they were at the very top. When the one thing that you can see are that they both phenomenal. So it's and then how you compare if Senna is better or Schumacher is better, you can't. But you had both at the same time on the same place, and they were flying. And that this is the best for, because you, as a racing driver, you also become a public person in there, that sometimes you are in the middle of the corner and then you see both coming, or they ride in front or they ride behind. And that's, you have to have gratitude for life, for being present at that time. You know, I will never forget in my first year, I put my finger out and it was Senna going by, and you could see his hand out of the cockpit into the corner, and I could so much appreciate it was something that I will have the gratitude on my head for that moment.
That's awesome. And Fernando, you've had enough time to think about a very PR friendly answer. What's your thoughts?
Look, I think I agree with both.
Yes.
I agree with Rubens that it's difficult to compare times and difficult to compare drivers in the same time, because you need to have all the things and all the ingredients together to have an answer or a fair answer. It's true that having the same car and the same team in 1 year, that's a good opportunity to compare drivers. And final score was 109 in terms of points. So that's already one answer. It's true that the people say normally that it was his rookie year and it was not my rookie year. At the same time, I can say that it was the change for Bridgestone, like GP2 tire on that time, compared the Michelins and the Bridgestone that we were running in the past. So my first three or four races and all my winter test was very compromised for this tire, and I had to readapt a lot of things on my style. It never got public, that thing, because it's not interest or public interest. But his rookie year, true. The Bridgestone tire change in that year, true. Lack factor is an important thing. I think Lewis had the pit lane entry in Shanghai in the penultimate race. That was a bad moment for him. I had two issues with the gearbox, starting 10th in two races. I had one of the most unfair penalties in Hungary with a pit lane block that it was called at that time. And from pole position, you start 10th in Hungary. And then if you lose the championship for 1 point, that hurts when it's something like that. So, 109, I'm happy, and I see now Lewis' success, and in Formula One, as I said, difficult to compare Michael Luis, Senna, they've been all great, you know, in different areas and a lot of victories for sure. But you need a car and a package that Luis has at the moment, and he's delivering.
Yeah, lots of respect. I appreciate that that answer, Fernando.
And we are happy that Fernandinho is back on the car, so we have fun as well. We can beat him on the virtual, and then he goes there and beats everyone. So
you know, it is a good thing, because if I beat, look, the way I see it, right? I mean, I'm really a fan of these two guys here, not because they're my friends, but if I beat them on iRacing, Fernando is doing really well in F1, I can't say, well, I could be doing that too, you know?
But you would, though, Tony. Come on, you would.
Same thing with Rubens, you know what I mean? Look how much he won, how much hard time he gave to all his competitors. So, you know, the year that we came to IndyCar, we were teammates, it was actually a pretty fun year. And you can imagine both of us running in the same team, how much of a hard time he gave me. But he still reckons that I won the 500 because of his setup. So
I know for sure, because it was the setup. So
I absolutely love that. Right, moving to you, Tony. this one's quite good. Tony Kanaan looks like Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I mean, I get that quite a bit. You know, I think it's the hair and I don't know.
It's not the worst comparison, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, I wish I would have Vin Diesel's money, I would say, probably then, you know, because I don't. But yeah, I actually met the guy a few years ago, and he actually at the time made a joke saying that he was going to call me to make a part of one of the Fast and Furious. But yeah, I mean, I get that all the time, all the time.
We need to prepare another background, eh? With fast
yeah. Explosions.
Yeah. Explosions, yes.
Absolutely. I think the white color is making your nose bigger as well. So I that we need to change that. So
I turned the light off. Look.
Better. That's better.
But you know, look who's talking. Look how beautiful Rubens is. What a handsome guy. Like his nose not big. He has plenty of hair. I mean, crazy. But anyway.
Guys, this is exactly what I signed up for. Keep it going. Right. Rubens, one for you. What is Rubens Barrichello doing now? People want to know.
It's funny that with all the internet...
He's going to be a long answer.
Yeah. Do you want to get a drink, Fernando?
I'll be right back.
Yeah. With all the internet information that, you know, people don't get to see their... outside world, because I have, you know, Fernando says that because I'm racing a lot more than I used to race in Formula One. So now I'm doing the Brazilian stock cars. I'm doing the Argentinian Super TC, 2000, which is the front wheel drive. I'm doing the rear wheel drive, which calls the top race in Argentina. If it wasn't for the pandemic, I was in Australia doing the S5000. So I'm having fun. I race 15 consecutive weekends up to the December 20th. So for, you know, most definitely I'm having fun, and with my son going into Formula Renault, which is the regional with Renault next year, I'll be able to be, you know, at the Formula One races, because they race combined sometimes, and I'll be able to cheer up for Fernandinho while I'm there.
You forgot karting. You forgot that you are testing with your son.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know what's funny, Fernando? He says I need to take Dudu for a test, and then he takes half of the day and he tests a car that his son was supposed to test. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
It's just ridiculous.
Okay, I forgot the karting. Sorry, guys.
Nice. We got another one that seems to be very popular on Google is how tall drivers are. So we've got how tall is Fernando Alonso, how tall is Tony Kanaan, and how tall is Rubens Barrichello?
I'm short. I'm 171.5, 172.
I'm the same.
I'm 168.
There you go.
I'm 171.
There we go. I love how Fernando said 0.5. Just, you know, it's every half a centimeter count.
He's getting to that point where he's getting short.
Yes, going down. I used to be 172, but now I'm struggling to get there.
I've been there, so that's why I'm saying 171. On my document, it says 72, but I'm already on 71.
Nice. And another one here is Tony Kanaan Indy 500 win. I wanted to talk about that. What I remember watching that race and your amazing team radio about how you were just going to go for it, because I think there's a, I think there's actually a Wikipedia page that was just dedicated to essentially how you were just always almost winning the Indy 500. How was it to finally get that win?
Yeah, I got.
He forgot to thank me for the setup.
Thank you, Rubens, for the setup. If it wasn't, so let me start my interview. If it wasn't for Rubens, I would never had won the 500. That is actually true, because Rubens helped me throughout my career since I lost my dad. But back to the 500, I got that comment from a journalist one day. He says, you know, you were, until you won the 500, the most famous driver to, besides Mike Andretti, to actually had not won the Indy 500. I'm like, well, that's, you know, I don't know if it was a great title to have, but that racing was an amazing race. It was a, you know, it's one of those things that it took me 12 years to do it. I had actually, up until that point, 12 tries, and I had finished it. And some of them, like, I had finished second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, I think. And something always would happen. And, you know, I became as popular as I am in IndyCar because of that, I think. And my biggest fear was, after I won that race, I said, now all my fans are just going to disappear, because they, I think they felt so sorry for me that I never got that win. Now that I got it, they're not going to cheer for me anymore. But special day. I mean, I had a great car and I got lucky. I mean, I actually lost two 500s on the last lap because of a yellow flag. So I knew on that restart that I had to take the lead. And especially the way that that race went, you did not want to be the leader on the last lap. You did not want to be the leader on a restart. But with three laps to go, I knew if it was going to go yellow, it was not going to go back to green. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take the risk. I actually sat in the radio and said, guys, I'm going to go for it. And if we don't win, we don't win. But I don't want to be in that position anymore. And it was a gamble and it worked, right? I mean, nowadays, I think they did change the rules. That's not going to happen again. I believe that they would red flag the race to have a green, white check or whatever that is. But at the time, because I had lost at least two of those races like that, I took the risk, and it was an awesome day. I mean, obviously, there was a time of my life that I was in a team that was struggling for money. I was getting like comments that, like, you know, he's not performing anymore, he's getting old, he's washed out. And that was 2013, and I'm still in IndyCar now. So it did change my life. It did change my career for the better. So, and it's definitely the biggest achievement of my career, for sure.
So now we know that clearly it's all Rubens' setup.
100%.
I remember the springs on the car, so I won't
shut
tell.
Shut up. It's the same car. Shut up.
Okay. So are you going to give Fernando some tips to so he can complete that triple crown?
Listen, that's what Fernando, you need. In my opinion, Fernando, the year that he came, that first year, it was the car to beat. And then, unfortunately, in racing, you need some luck as well. I don't think Fernando needed any tips. Once I actually got the pleasure to battle with him in that race, and I was like, damn it, man, we don't need you here. You know, in a way, he was so good. And I think, and then unfortunately, I think he got to experiment both sides of IndyCar.
Yes.
the good and the bad of the ovals. And but I don't think Fernando needs any tips. And I told him that this year when we saw each other. Obviously, he's committed to F1, but I'm pretty sure that I'm actually glad that the time that Fernando it's done with his F1 and he's going to come back here to try to complete it, I won't be around. So I'll be a Fernando fan. I'll be cheering for him to do the triple crown.
So you will come as a fan and Rubens as an engineer.
Now, Rubens might be in some readers and a little bit of, maybe in a way, because he's really old. But yeah, Rubens will be an engineer. I'll be your spotter.
Let me put it. All right.
I still can kick your ass there. Okay, no worries.
So I absolutely love that.
I assume that's still the plan, Fernando, once obviously you're back in Formula One, but is that still something you want to tick off the bucket list? If you go.
Honestly, right now, difficult to think that much forward. I'm totally focused on the F1, and now I cannot say that I see the IndyCar or the Indy 500 as a final goal in the future. I see more Dakar. I really enjoy the experience there in Saudi, and I don't know. It's a race that requires less preparation. It's a little bit more an adventure than making perfection into the oval, and in a way, it's less risky. Even if it's quite a dangerous race, Dakar, nothing beats Indy in terms of risk. So there is something that you need to manage that as well. But yeah, now with the help of Rubens and the sprints, I may change the idea.
The dream team. I can't wait to see this.
Well, if you, I promise you, me and Rubens, because it's his setup, I need to ask him permission, apparently. that if you come back and it's still the same car, you will have that setup. If it's
Tony, you know that if Rubens comes, he will end it up sitting in the cockpit and driving.
Rubens will be that typical guy. You know, when you go out in the streets, and then I think nothing wrong with that, but that you are 80 years old and you still think you can drive like when you're 30. And Rubens will be that guy, like not putting turn signal lights, hitting the curbs on his car, and he still think he's going to beat all of us. That's just Rubens.
Well, he does sometimes. So I like Rubens because of that. You know, the passion and following him for many years. Now what he's doing out of Formula One, it was an inspiration somehow.
Oh, it's all the love. It's all the love. It turns very quickly, doesn't it? So you're slow to, I do actually love you, though. It's brilliant. I love watching it.
You know, Matt, here's the deal. I think the day that we stop peeking on each other, that's the day that we got to have to worry about, because that means then we hate each other.
Yeah. That's great to see. Right, one final batch for each of you. Okay, we'll start with Fernando. This one, I guess a lot of people wonder why you stopped Formula One. It says, why did Fernando Alonso leave F1? What was the reason that you decided to stop for a little while?
I had other things on my mind. My head was busy on the IndyCar and the Triple Crown goal. I wanted to finish the World Endurance Championship in the best way possible. At that time, Australia and Sebring 2019, they were clashing. So I wanted to win the World Endurance Championship. I wanted to complete the second Le Mans. I had Daytona Rolex 24 with Cadillac on my mind as well. I don't know. I have the Dakar, feeling that I could try again also in 2020. So I had like too many things on my head that they were not F1. F1 was not appealing at that time for me, and it was not offering what other series they were offering at that time. So I thought, look, it's better to stop here. I don't know if I will come back with the new regulations in 2021 or not. So let's say that this is my final race. And look, after I complete some of those challenges, missing only the Indy 500, I thought that this was the right time to come back, even if the new regs are for 2022. I felt good. I felt young. I felt sharp. So let's try again.
Speaking of that last race, it made me laugh where I can't remember who you were trying to catch, but you just kept missing your breaking points. Was that when you were just like, right, screw it, let's try it?
Yeah, I was. I don't know what I was trying to do. I think I was catching the DRS of the guy in front or something like that. So yeah,
that was funny. It was brilliant. Right, Tony. It says, where is Tony Kanaan? You can take that however you like. Where is Tony Kanaan?
Where? Okay. So I'm in Indianapolis. I moved to Indy 2 years ago for actually some work purpose with the team that I was racing with. But my wife is from here. But where I'm at in life, I'm a happy guy. I'm extremely actually humble to be able to, you know, to still do IndyCar at 46. I'm the second of all times of most starts in IndyCar, only behind AJ Foyt, which is those guys raced until they were like 60 years old. I'm in a good place. I have four kids. I'm a family guy, and I feel fortunate that I was able to do everything I wanted to do in my life and racing, and I'm looking forward to the next step. I think I take that this is a compliment to these two guys are that in front of me here, Rubens and Fernando, too, that they actually kind of opened my mind that that is actually life after F1, obviously not F1, but IndyCar. You know, that when you become a racing at the top, you think that's the only thing that, you know, that you can open your mind and go do Dakar, go do stock cars in Brazil, go, and it's still fun, right? Because you have that idea that we drive the fastest cars in the world in the ovals or in road courses, whatever you want to call it, that you're never going to have fun again because you got to the top. And actually, by Rubens first, because he was the first one to make the move, and see how much fun he's having. He's driving everything, and then Fernando trying to, you know, his goals. It opened up my mind big time. I think I had the idea that the day that I was going to quit IndyCar, I was not going to race anymore. And so that's where I'm at. Happy and enjoying life, which I feel very fortunate to be able to do so.
That's what a wholesome answer. Love that, Tony, from you. Thank you. And Rubens, one final one for you. Rubens Barrichello's son, how proud of you of his current progress and just getting stuck into racing?
The biggest thing there is because at one point you see his talent, and but I've always told him I can open doors for you, but I cannot keep it open. So it depends pretty much on your love. It depends pretty much on your dedication. And you just saw in the middle of this interview, I just went there and he's there on the sim. So I'm in America right now because I came here to visit him. And then from here, we're going to go to Italy where he's going to leave. And to be able to see his hands on a steering wheel and the way he's drives, makes me very proud and emotional. And it must be something that we have on our DNA that you don't need to teach, but it's just the same. You know, I think I got it from my mom, even though the Barrichellos are, because I was horrible in a football, just better than Tony. But
of course,
the whole Barrichello family comes from a soccer, situation, and I was the one that got wrong, and I went to the racing, and then I don't know. I mean, I never saw my mom driving that fast or my dad driving that fast, but when I see both of my kids, they have situations that are pretty much the same as I do. And for me, what makes you get to the place is obviously being there at the right time, at the right place, which TK, for example, is a good example. He had much more talent than many of the drivers there, but didn't have the financial and then didn't have the situation and had to choose to go somewhere. But Eduardo have the talent, have the ambition, and it makes me very proud. It's when I see him driving, it's just for me, it makes me, you know, have goosebumps.
Yeah, because I remember the video of your son driving you around, and you just were completely, just couldn't catch your emotions, because you were so proud, and it was a very wholesome video that I think a lot of the motorsport community saw. Right, well, that's it, guys. Rubens, Tony, Fernando, thank you so much for spending the time speaking to us today, and most of all, just taking the piss out of each other. It's been brilliant to watch. Best of luck for your race on Saturday. We will be watching. Try not to rub off the WTF1 logo too much when you're crashing into other people, but I'm sure you guys will do pretty well.
I hope we don't crash into each other. That would be a good start. Yeah,
Fernando, just by the way, I can't drive right away, but I'll be back this afternoon. Just put the setup on Discord and I'll
blah, drive. Blah, 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 blah. Again, one more delay. No.
I'll be there. I told them. You know, I just got here. The kids are here. I have, you know, I they called me yesterday. Are you going to drive? I was in the supermarket, you see. So I got to be.
Oh, poor guy. Oh, my. Let's sing a song. Like, come on.
Remember, the race is on Saturday. That's the only thing, probably. I give up on the practice. I give up.
No worries.
Amazing. Right, I'll say goodbye to everybody watching and listening. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Ciao.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.